Banking is no longer just about transactions. It's about trust, personalization, and experience. Today, we dive into how one of the region's most innovative banks, Meshriq, is reimagining the customer journey from the inside out. From AI-powered personalization to human-first service design, we're exploring what it really takes to build loyalty in a digital-first world. And to tell us more, I'm joined by Rania Nerhal, the Group Chief Client Experience and Conduct Officer at Meshriq, who's leading the charge in transforming banking from a service into a seamless human-centric experience. Rania, it's so great to have you with us.
Same here. Very happy to be with you here today.
Rania, you in fact established the Client Experience and Conduct Group, positioning Meshriq as a pioneer in customer-centric banking. What does a powerful customer experience truly look like, particularly in today's rapidly evolving business landscape?
Meshriq was one of the very first innovators when it comes to customer experience in the region. Our vision, the chairman's vision, the group CEO's vision at the time, maybe in 2019, was how do we set Meshriq apart and differentiate ourselves? And the only token of currency that is different than any other bank or any other financial institution was customer experience, which was established in Meshriq in 2019. Customer experience and what people or what customers expect from customer experience have changed drastically over the last decade. Previously, it used to be customer service, so you'd be happy with just the customer service that is being submitted or created from any financial institution. Now it's an overall total experience. It's no longer about efficiency. It's no longer about technology. It's about how do you deliver a seamless, personalized, and very, very high-end digital experience to the customers. Customer experience is no longer about the digital platform. They're expecting you to always know what you want to deliver to them. Consistency. So every time they're going to come to you, you're going to deliver the same level of experience. You're going to deliver the same level of service. And when you have a problem, you want to have a resolution, you're always going to be there providing a seamless resolution and an effortless one. The problem is now, or the challenge that financial institutions are facing right now, is the fact that we're no longer benchmarked against other financial institutions. Consumers don't benchmark us against financial institutions. They benchmark us against their very high-end digital lifestyle platforms that they use on a daily basis, which is very difficult for financial institutions to match, but we have to do it in order to stay relevant in their domain. We have to be able to provide this level of services and this level of experience. So benchmarking us against their digital platforms or their lifestyle digital platforms sets a very big challenge for us and makes us want to move from being a pure transactional financial institution into a holistic lifestyle platform that supports the consumers. This helps us into more engaging with the clients, having more engagement with the clients, anticipating their needs, and building lifetime relationships with them. So when we're looking at customer experience, what we're really trying to aim for is building a lifetime customer relationship whereby the customer feels that he's connected with our brand, that he's loyal with our brand, and the first thing that he thinks or she thinks when they want to approach any financial issue or anything that relates to finance, they come to this bank because they have the best customer experience there.
Rania, you bring up a really important point there in the way that people's expectations have really changed. It's almost like you have to become this tech company that really understands people, understands how they want to interact with your business on a whole other level. And this is something you've talked about before, staying ahead of the CX curve. So how do you manage to do that? And what's one bold customer experience idea that most banks aren't embracing, but they really should?
If we want to see how do we develop or how do we evolve or how do we reach out to our clients, we have to anticipate the client needs. And how do we anticipate the client's needs? By making sure that we're there with them in every step of the way. So it's not I'm waiting for the client to come to me in the branch. I'm not waiting for the client to call me in the contact center. I'm not waiting for them to reach out to me. I am embedded in their lifestyle. I am embedded in everything that they utilize. Being this invisible, seamless layer that is available for them. Imagine you are going to go buy a car or you're opening your app to buy a car and immediately it pops up, banking easy for you. Let's do a loan for the car buying, which is car loan. Very easy. It automatically, you're linked to the bank. You see how easy it is. Embedding the bank in every application that you have rather than having a separate application for the bank or a separate branch that you are linked with. It's you're there in the general life. How do we do this? We leverage on technology. We leverage on AI tools. We leverage on mining the data of where do our customers are. And not all the customers are the same. You have different segments. You have different ways. You have the retail customers. You have the corporate customers. How do you utilize the data that you have and how do you mine this data and analyze it in order to personalize every part of the data that you have and deliver to the customer wherever he is the services that he wants? So this is something that we as a bank try to always disrupt the market by doing it, mining this data, using it, and utilizing it in the right way to reach the clients.
Something that's really coming in now is conversational banking, which promises, as you said, more personalization, more engagement as well. What does that really look like? And so can you share then, for us to be able to imagine, can you share a real world case example from Meshur where conversational banking has really elevated the client experience and even possibly upped the revenues as well?
Actually, I have a very good example for conversational banking. We have been developing and we rolled out an AI chatbot for all of our customers. What does this mean? This means that I facilitate the customer reaching out to me 24/7, 365 days, anytime they want, in order to resolve their routine asks, whether it's balance inquiry, whether it is loan inquiry, whether it's printing of checkbooks. All the routine services is removed from going to queue in the branches or waiting on the call and the call center to respond to them or waiting for anyone to do it or waiting for the time of the branch to open in order to do that. This is available for them 24/7. And this also, what does it do? It facilitates and it frees up the time of my people, of my staff, in order to have higher value interaction with the clients. So this helped maybe 50% of reducing the time with the clients in order to do this, and at the same time, increase the interaction. We have clients now who are enjoying chatting with the chatbot. Why? Because they can do it at 7 o'clock in the evening after they go back from work. They can do it very early in the morning when they wake up in order to search certain stuff rather than waiting for the bank to do that. Leveraging on AI chatbots in doing routine work, the routine services, is something that everyone has to be using. Whoever is not utilizing AI-empowered ecosystem for their businesses are losing a lot. And this is something that has to be backed by the human touch as well.
As you say, Rania, AI is absolutely critical to every single business now. But how do you end up striking that balance between the human touch and making sure that you have AI there? And is it different for different generations of customers when you're talking about Gen Z, millennials, versus those who are older customers?
Definitely, there is a huge difference between older customers and Gen Z and millennials. If I'm going to talk about old customers, and I'll have to thank, again, I think everyone in any kind of discussion or any kind of panel did speak about that, which is COVID and how it expedited the digitization. So everything now is digital. However, the right balance or to strike the right balance of having AI-enabled platforms and at the same time empowered by the human touch is something that most financial institutions and other kind of industries have to manage. In our business, we are very cognizant of that. So we do have the AI-empowered platforms. However, this is backed. So each and every journey that I'm looking at it, how does it reflect from a human touch? How does it have the kind of security level and privacy level to invoke this trust in the older generation that says that, okay, my data is private, my data is secured, and at the same time, I can sort my business quickly. However, if I do want to go to a branch and see my financial advisor, if I want to speak with an agent or I want to speak with a relationship manager, these people are also available for me. So I can sort out my routine services or my routine work easily through the digital platform. And at the same time, I have this personalized touch by having the human person or the human interaction at the branches or at the offices of the bank. It's striking the balance and having the humans at the back end of each and every channel is very important to be retained.
And making sure that you feel that when you do need someone to speak to, that they're there. Always, yes, they're always there. Available.
They're always available. It's extremely important as a client. I'm not going to speak as someone who works in the financial industry. I want to know that, yes, I'm resolving my issue through sorting it with the chatbot that I'm talking with. But if I'm stuck or when I need, immediately someone will be there to help me, whether it's a life agent at the end of the line or an actual RM or an actual financial advisor that will come. This is something that I need to be having in my mind, at the back end of my mind. The minute the customer or the minute any consumer feels that this is the end of it, this is the chatbot, and if I'm not reaching anywhere, I cannot reach a human. It's at this instant, even if they have their service, that they're frustrated, which is something that's very important that we take care of.
You've spoken to the frustrations of so many of us.
Yes. Who
have been in that situation. I'm glad you're addressing it. But you pointed to something really important there, and that is trust. Because all of these technologies are, of course, gathering so much data to be able to personalize the experience for your customers. So how do you foster trust with your customers and to make sure that they can still trust you with all of their data and to maintain that relationship? Because that's essential when you're talking about banking, isn't it?
I don't think there's anything more important than security, trust, and transparency in order for us to drive this relationship with the clients. If the client has less than 1% of trust that his data or her data is not secure or could land in the wrong place, you lose the client immediately. And you lose the client as a full relationship, which is like a total loss for the bank. So it's extremely important that when we're speaking with the clients and we're asking for their data, first of all, we tell them we want ask for the exact level of data. I don't want more than I should be taking. I should be telling them how am I going to use it, where I'm going to use it. And in case there's any involvement with a third party, there has to be clear, transparent communication and consent from the client stating, I'm going to be using this data in ABC, and this is the third party involved with me. Are you okay for that? The consent part with the clients is extremely important. The transparency with the client is extremely important. Are you okay to I'm using this? This is where I'm going to be using it. This is where I'm going to be housing my data. All of this has to be clearly articulated in order for the clients to be comfortable in sharing their data with us. And this doesn't come by us saying, it comes by practice, it comes by proof. It's like not only talking, but walking the walk as well. So when the clients do test us in the privacy of their data, when the clients do say, yes, I know that the bank did this, and when I call them to tell them this happened and this happened, can I use your data in this? It is this level of trust that starts building with time. And if we lose this trust, it's a big thing. So building this trust is building the client relationship there.
Let's talk wholesale and consumer banking, the difference between these two, because under your leadership, Maastricht's net promoter score, the NPS, rose to 63, covering both wholesale and consumer segments, with wholesale banking ranked as the leading bank in the UAE. But we've seen wholesale banking lagging in terms of customer experience. Why would you say that that is? And how are you bridging the gap?
Well, I'm happy to share that we're currently actually not 63, we're at 70. And this is something that is validated and confirmed through the UBF platform as well. Let me tell you something. When I first took the role as customer experience and conduct officer back in 2019, I came from a very long tenure of corporate and investment banker for more than 25 years. And I've never heard customer experience for wholesale banking. It has never been there. Always customer experience is about retail and consumers. Because we all were thinking that customer experience for wholesale bankers doesn't exist. What exists is relationship management. Wholesale banking is a relationship management business because of the complexity of the transactions, cross-border, complex regulations, so many things that come into the equation, plus the siloed digital platform. So you will have a platform for trade finance, you'll have a platform for treasury, you'll have a platform for payments and transactional banking. So there wasn't a one consolidated platform that serves the client, and everything was tied to the relationship manager. One of the main areas when I came in 2019, which was again the vision of the chairman and the group CEO at the time, how do we elevate wholesale banking? How do I move away, or I do the right blend again between relationship management and customer experience? How do I consolidate everything in order to deliver the best customer experience to our corporate clients? We have done this in Mashreq in a very good way. We have launched our new corporate, neo corporate platform, which is an end of the line or top of the line platform where it consolidates all the platforms that the customers are using. So the trade finance, the transactional banking, the FX, the normal service inquiries and the normal customer service requests are done through one digital platform. Fully secured, very easy to navigate, very user-friendly, and at the same time provides immediate contact with the relationship manager. So through one platform, you can do everything you want. Through one platform, you can reach out to your customer, to your relationship manager. Through one platform, you can know what is there in your bank 24/7. This for the CEOs is a dream come true. I can do my work, I can reach my RM, and I can do it anytime I want in any country I want. This change happened through what? For the last 4 years, we have been doing customer hackathons, meeting with clients, asking them, what would you like to see? What would you like? What will make your business easy? How would you like the platform to be? So this platform wasn't just off the shelf. This was the work of 3-4 years of meeting clients, not in the UAE, across every geography we operate in, and asking them, what would you like to see that is very good in other banks, that is a pain point for you in any bank that you don't want to see? And we created the platform accordingly. So wholesale banking really elevated, and the customer experience has now moved from purely relationship managed into relationship managed and customer experience led.
I love that. You know, you've gone beyond retail banking to really rethink everything that you do within your operations. And as you say, really elevating the wholesale banking experience. In terms of measuring the success of customer experience, aside from NPS and CSAT, what other metrics are you using? How else are you measuring customer experience satisfaction?
See, when we start... When we go back to retail banking and consumer banking, we have something called transactional NPS, which is every time you do a transaction with the bank, we measure how satisfied you are. We started with this. So this is the first thing. And it's not a number and it's not a figure. It's showing me the customer feedback every time they do a transaction. I look at the NPS and I look at the CSAT, but these are not the main metrics for me. It's the feedback that is coming from the clients. It's listening to the clients and what is the verbatims that is coming with this NPS. How do I feed this into my analytical platform? And I come up with actions in order for me to improve better. It's all about listening to the clients, understanding the client, and doing the enhancements and doing the adjustments in order to start from the beginning again. There is nothing constant. Every single product, every single process, every single human interaction is reassessed based on the customer feedback. What's very important is that when I'm measuring, I'm not measuring only the NPS and the CSAT. I'm measuring the cost per transaction. I'm measuring the revenue per transaction. I'm measuring the attrition that I'm having in the clients. I'm measuring the lifetime cycle of the client. How long has this been client with me? Is he really buying other products for me? Because this reflects how happy he is with me. All of these metrics come into consideration when I'm looking at the CSAT or the NPS. It's not only the figure of the NPS. The figure of the NPS is a North Star, and all of these things feed into it in order for me to get elevated and reach a higher NPS. What's extremely important in the NPS that it drives loyalty from clients is the fact that the clients do feel the difference when they provide me with the feedback and they see this feedback in the process. So for instance, you're dealing with me as a bank, you saw a process, you're not happy with it, and you rated me very badly. And you provided your verbatim, I'm not happy because ABC. 3-4 months down the line, you come and do this transaction again, very frustrated. You're saying, oh my God, Mushrik is doing this and I'm going to do it and it's going to be a mess. And you see the change happened. You see that your feedback made a difference and really we changed this process. This closing of the feedback loophole is the most important thing that I think is a measurement for the customers, and this is what elevates NPS.
And this is really where making sure that you're people-centric comes in as well, because as you say, you're listening to your customers, you're listening to your clients, and you're making sure that what they say is coming back to you, and you're not afraid to overhaul what you're doing to make sure that it fits in with how they want to see things done, which is critical. Something you also highlight is the importance of women in enhancing customer experience as well. I can see you smiling yes. There. It's something that you're passionate about. What unique perspectives do you think women bring to customer experience and execution?
See, other than the fact that I think women are just great in anything that they do, this is something beyond. I think so.
The proof is in the pudding.
Yes. Women think of long term. They always think of the lifetime of everything, not something that's transactional or short term wins. So they always think, how do we nurture this client relationship? And this reflects in CX. When you said we overhaul the full thing, yes, I'm customer focused. My main focus is the customer. How do I make this customer happy? And how I make sure that this customer keeps returning to us? This, for me, I think is one of the main strengths of having a woman leader under the customer experience team. The other thing is that women by nature collaborate more. So I bring everything on the table. I don't operate in silos. So when I'm thinking of CX, how do I embed this in our culture? How do I embed this in our functions, whether it's operations? How do I embed this in our compliance? So compliance has to be met. Regulatory things have to be met. But how do I bring this to the customer without causing them pain? How do I embed the customer experience in each and every business decision? How do I make this organization customer obsessed? Bringing everyone together to the table, I think, is a skill set that women by nature do. This collaboration rather than the siloed, I'm doing something alone and I'm succeeding alone. So I think this is also one of the main factors that women leaders in the CX are very famous for or very good at least with my interaction with other CX leaders. When you think of a problem, you think holistically. You don't think only on siloed where you are. How will this impact other functions or other business? One more thing, I think also, we really appreciate diversity. So I like diversity. I like having different nationalities in my team. I like having different age groups in my team. I like having this discussion. So I will bring the topic in the morning in my room and I'm gonna say, this is the problem. Let's start solutions. And you have to see the war room that happens in this office. But I get a diverse level of opinions, suggestions. I have the Gen Z and the millennials and the old on the old guards there, and everyone comes up with an idea which in the end delivers a great personal, a great human, a great digital customer experience that can be enhanced.
And everybody's looking at things from their own perspectives. Yes. Yeah. I feel like women as well, they have a thing for relationships and really developing relationships. So it kind of feels perfect for customer experience as well. Let's talk a bit about the future of branches, because we're seeing an increasingly digital landscape, as you say. What is the role of branches now? How is Meshach reimagining the role of branches now to make sure that they remain relevant and value producing?
I actually like the word reimagining. Yes. Branches in our culture, when it comes to the regional culture, are going to remain, but Meshach is reimagining them. So we are always digitally led bank. We will always be digitally led platforms. However, we have to create the branches for certain relevance and for certain kind of interactions. In Meshach, what we have done is like we more or less transformed 99% of all of our services into digital platforms, but at the same time, provided available branches in the form of different segments and different usage of these branches. So we created a full-fledged branch. We created a smart branch. We created a gold express branch for each and every one their own needs. If you're a customer who wants to go in the morning at 6 o'clock and have a fully automated machine that does your withdrawals, your deposits, your transfers, your KYC update, everything, you can do this from one fully automated branch without meeting any human person or waiting for someone or being in line or queuing up. At the same time, we have branches who are enabled with this kind of machines. However, we have the humans there enabled by tools and digital tools in order to help you if you need any financial advice. If you need to discuss, for instance, your mortgage, if you want to do a mortgage, what type of loans is good for you? If you want to discuss investment opportunities. So we created branches that interact with the client for high value interactions and at the same time provided them with digital branches where they can do all of their work without waiting and queuing and having to go to the counters.
Now, let's look to the future of CX. What is the one CX trend that you see defining banking in 2026? And what do banks need to leave behind from 2025?
Can I start with what they leave on 2025?
Absolutely.
What do we have to leave in 2025? Legacy systems, silos, and omni-channel experiences or different omni-channel experiences that frustrate clients. When I talk about legacy systems, I think this is one of the main things that banks have to invest in. Make sure that when we're talking about digital platforms or AI platforms, we are talking about things that really match the current dynamics and the current requirements and the current demands that the clients are asking for. The clients have advanced dramatically over the last decade, and we need to be able to match that. Silos. It's extremely important that banks speak internally. So we don't want businesses who are siloed from other businesses. We shouldn't have the retail not speaking with the corporate. They complement each other. The CEOs of this company are the retail consumers that we have, and they are the CEOs of the large companies that we have on the corporate front. So this interaction and collaboration is extremely important. Most important, omni-channels. Clients interacting with the bank through so many channels have to have consistency. Currently, you will find that one channel is not having the same level of service or experience that the other channel has. So unifying this is extremely important and leads to the frustration of the client. So this is something that should be avoided in 2026. 2026, what should we do? I'll tell you what the vision of Meshach Bank is, or what do we aim to and strive to be. We don't want to be seen as only a bank. We want to be seen as an enabler of life experiences, whether it's on the corporate side or on the retail side. How does this happen? Through enabling of my data, my AI, my analytics, and my personal human touch, the blend between, again, always the blend between the digital and the human, putting Mashreq seamlessly and invisibly in all of their lifestyle. And this is why I say it's extremely important that I am embedded in all of the applications or in everything that the client sees from the consumer side, as well as from the corporate side. Being there invisibly, being a life enabler, rather than seen as, I just need to go to the bank to do this. No, it's a part of my life. It's part of my daily interactions. Whenever I do something, I have Mashreq as my companion. I have Mashreq as my partner in this success story, whether it's a personal success story or a corporate success story, Mashreq is with me as a partner. And this happens through building of lifetime relationships, building the trust that we have with the clients, and making sure that at each and every interaction, we proved as a bank that we are a partner with you.
Well, you're taking the words beyond banking very seriously. Rania Narhal, what an absolute pleasure. It's amazing to talk with you about all of the things that you're doing at Mashreq to really elevate customer experience. It's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Sari. Very pleasure to meet with you. Thank you.